At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church, those fifth grade and below. Follow Miss Denise Porch and Miss Christy Rowe. Ask you to find in your Bibles Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want to read verses 6 and 7. I've added one verse to it. Matthew 28, 6 and 7. Matthew 28, 6 and 7, they read like this. He is not here, for he has been resurrected, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. In fact, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as your message is delivered in word and song. May everything done and said be according to your will. Your Son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This morning's message is just a little different in that we as the choir and myself are going to give you a message that God has given us and been working on for quite some time. Oftentimes we're very guilty of looking at the Easter message and it's the same every year. We serve a risen Savior. However, we should be excited about that because that does not grow old. We should be excited about our Lord and Savior. He lives. We serve a risen Savior that lives today. But as we see in these scriptures, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever needed proof? Have you ever needed proof? Have you ever noticed that we like proof? We play basketball and we play around the world or whatever. We want to prove it. If you play a game of horse, we have to prove it to make sure that we have lost. There's no telling how many people, especially my father-in-law, I've asked him, no telling how many, you've got to prove it, Roger, and he did. But you see, oftentimes in life, we want proof of the message. Here is something that these angels were sharing with the women that are coming here. We see in these verses, the scriptures, that they were offering proof. In fact, basically, the angel said, see, he's not here. Look and see. And as they went in and come back out, he basically said, I told you so. Jesus said he was going to be buried and 3 days later he would rise from the dead in victory. The Bible shares with us there's only one way to get into heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, but through me. So how was this all possible? As we celebrate Easter and a Savior that lives, let us not take for granted the message that's given to us each and every year. Let us not take for granted everything that happened over that three-day period. Have you ever wondered why? Why did Jesus die for me? I have. Have you ever wondered what exactly happened? What did he go through? I have. The Bible shares with us and reveals to us the answers on many of the things that took place. I can tell you this much. He paid every sin debt that this world owes. And he set you free for what he did and accomplished upon the cross. And we talk about the cross time and time again. We should not leave it out. About the death, burial, and resurrection. But what did it look like? We get a glimpse of how it looked in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, wherein it states this, just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man. And his form did not resemble a human being. He took the beatings that he received. He went to the cross. Why? Because he loved you. Now imagine, if you will, with me for just a moment. Imagine being there that day, the day that Jesus died for you. Imagine the questions that were running through the minds of the people who were there. Probably some of the questions that we too ourselves have today. Why is he doing that? What is he guilty of? Why do they continue to beat him, though he's already taken so much? Why is he carrying that cross? Will nobody stop this from happening? Then all you hear after those questions is people yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" The reason he did not call the angels to stop them was because he loved you. And that day upon the cross, you were on his mind. That day upon the cross, he knew that he was the only sinless, perfect Lamb of God that could take it all for you and for me. Choir.
Who's that man with a cross on his shoulder, falling down beneath the heavy load? Is there no one to relieve him of his burden, to help him walk that long dusty road? Is he tired? Is he bleeding? Is he crying? Struggling now to climb Calvary's hill. Now the earth has darkened, the leaves now stand still. That a soldier I see piercing his side. I hear him asking, "Father, please, please forgive them." This is God's Son. Behold the Lamb of God.
Life is often tough. Life brings us many choices each and every day of our life. We face choices on getting up, choices on going, choices on all types of things in life. I, Greg Gnarl, am a sinner saved by grace. I have made many wrong choices and taken many wrong path. But as that song was just saying, that's the reason He died on the cross for me. That's the reason He paid the price that I could not pay. That's the reason they crucified Him. That's the reason that even though he asked God, Father, if there be any other way, let's do it. But Father, not my will, but your will be done. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful that he gave his life and he bled and died. But the story does not stop there. Imagine being there and this Jesus that you followed and trusted. Imagine he's now dead. That's what happened in the life of the people of this day. They trusted him. They followed him. They saw the miracles. They saw the many things we have in the Bible time and time again of many people seeing him risen from the dead. Many people seeing him and hearing his teachings. Many people there following after him, thinking this is the Messiah, this is the King. And then he died. Can you imagine the heartbrokenness that the people felt? The things that were going through their mind, the things that were going through their head. Imagine the thoughts. And you go around telling someone yourself, imagine yourself being in this time frame. You thought all was going to be well, and then your Savior, the one you thought was the Messiah, had died. What do you go around telling people then? He's gone. He's gone. Imagine the scene. Imagine Jesus was crucified. Imagine Jesus had died. Imagine Jesus was buried and the tomb was sealed. Imagine the tomb was also guarded. Imagine how your hope had gone from so high to so low. How you felt all was a loss, but then it happened. Then the impossible took place. What happened, you might ask? The tomb was found empty. That's exactly what happened. People are talking, the buzz starts rising up again. They start asking, did you hear? And you question, did I hear what? Did you hear? He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Because his tomb is empty now. Why? Thank you. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have very much to be excited about. We have very much to live for. One thing that we often neglect is God has expectations for us. He wants for us to trust Him, yes. He wants for us to rely upon Him. He wants us to surrender to Him. The Bible shares thus in Philippians chapter 2 that there's a day coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't matter what choice you make, He's Lord of all, irregardless. But He extends the call. He extends the invitation for you to make Him Lord in your life, to live for Him each and every day, as if there's no tomorrow. Because He is risen. And there's a day coming that He will return. And His church, His people, will give an account for every good and bad thing that we've done. That's one judgment. That's Christians' judgment. There's a day also coming that we'll give an account if we know Jesus or not. If we say He'll know, if He says, I see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, He'll say, enter in. Your sins are forgiven. But if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we don't want to hear this. He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. We have a choice of a decision that we're called to live by. So having heard those two songs that He is risen, we have a risen Savior, He paid it all for us, stop and think about how God created. He knew in His all-knowing ability that we were going to sin and mess up, but He created us anyway. And He continued on in His plan and sent Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, to pay the price on the cross to die for us, to take the punishment that we deserve. But He didn't stay there, because 3 days later He arose. Imagine being there when all this happened. The roller coaster ride that they were on. Oftentimes today, the roller coaster we're on because we serve Jesus, then we don't. We serve Jesus, then we don't. We follow Him, and then we don't. We say we follow Him, but we do not. We say that He's our Lord and Savior, but we don't live like it. Christians, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be excited about. Imagine following Jesus and Him being beaten and killed in front of you. Imagine the despair you felt and how you felt abandoned and let down. But now, imagine the victory you receive when you see Jesus is alive again. Imagine knowing that all of your sin has been overcome. Imagine realizing that He paid your debt and set you free. Free from the bondage of sin. We have much to celebrate. We have much to celebrate. Choir, show us how to celebrate.
Yeah.
Amen. He set us free. Life 2,000 plus years ago, or life today. Sin runs rampant in this world. The last verse of Scripture in the book of Judges says the people did what was right in their own eyes. God has expectations for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is what love for God is, to keep His commands. Now, His commands are not a burden." Too often we're guilty of thinking, "I don't have time." What if Jesus had said, "I don't have time to go to the cross for Greg"? "I don't have the money." What if Jesus said, "I'm not paying their debt"? "I don't have the desire." What if Jesus had not had the desire to give His life for you, for me? Did you know that you too can be set free from your bondage of sin this morning? All it takes is just surrendering to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I'm going to share with you a few verses of Scriptures to tell you a little more about the story. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I, Greg Nall, am chief of sinners, but I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus." No matter where you've been, what you've done, Jesus knows that you're a sinner, but He loves you anyway. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That wages of sin is separation from God. The wages of sin is hell. The wages of sin is you'll not be in heaven. "For the wages of sin is death." But, that's my favorite word in the Bible, "but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that He came and lived a life without sin, and He gave His life upon the cross for you. And when He is on that cross, He knew you by name. He knows you personally. And He gave it all for you." You see, He proved it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God proved or demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The story, praise God, does not end there. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We can have the hope of an eternity in a place called heaven if we'll only just trust Him. And I know sometimes we look at life and we say, "How does this loving God allow all these things happen in our world with cancer that so many people face, with struggles and difficulty and the choices?" Let me tell you something. Sin is real. My choice affects more than me. If I make a wrong choice, it affects me directly, yes. It affects my family directly, yes. But it affects everyone else too, especially those who are around you. So every choice affects others, and that's how sin gets so rampant, because when Greg Nall sins and makes mistakes, and he does, he struggles with it, it affects other people too. But praise God, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Because Jesus lives today, and He lives within me, and He wants to live within you too. We have much to celebrate. So if you're here this morning, maybe you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You gave your heart and your life to Jesus long ago, but maybe you're like Greg Nall, and you've wandered astray, and you've done some things that you shouldn't do, and God's saying to this, "Come back home. Come back to Me. This altar is open for you to come home." It's not about Greg Nall. It's not about this altar. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning and you've never taken that first step. Let me tell you something. Life is full of steps and struggles and difficulties. But I promise you this. Once you take that first step, He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He will be with you every step of the way for the rest of your life and in eternity in heaven. But you have to choose. You can't keep saying no, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. You can't say, I'll wait till next week's service, or I'll wait till next time. Today is a day of salvation. Won't you trust Him? Won't you stop putting Him on the back burner? Won't you just let Him live as Lord of your life? Every moment of every day. One last thing. John 16:33, Jesus said this, I have come that you may have peace. In the middle of struggles, in the middle of difficulties, I have come that you may have peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be questions that you have. There's going to be wonderings that run through your head. But He said this to complete that verse. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. And through Him, we can overcome it too. Because He lives. So if you're here this morning, God's tugging at your heart. Let go of that pew with those white knuckles. Come forward. Trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come forward and rededicate your heart and your life to Him. Come forward and put Him in the place that He already belongs, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing,